Hi, welcome back. So we enjoyed a nice break there. Hope you did too. This afternoon, we're going to finish off this story of the Windows Runtime XAML app. So we've got four short but sweet sessions. First of all, the one we're about to do, programming page controls and page transition animations. Then we're going to look at the app life, the way that you design for different size displays and orientations, the app lifecycle, also very important, and then with a little short bit on localization, and then that'll wrap up. And then for the rest of the afternoon, from the last 2 hours, we've got two really important and exciting sessions, which is about data and all the things you can do with that. And what's the last one?
Data and...
Yeah, whatever. There's another
something
one.
Something else.
Yeah, something else after
we'll
that.
It.
But it's good. Oh, yeah. Sharing and file pickers and
yes.
stuff, which is kind of related. So those two sessions are the first two that kind of get into... that leave the just the XAML story behind. And we get into the Windows Runtime APIs, which are available to Silverlight and to Windows Runtime XAML app developers. And that's going to be the course for tomorrow as well. We're talking about background tasks, the tiles, the notification center, geofencing... contacts and calendars, enterprise, that's good stuff there, masses of great stuff. So anyway, this session, yeah, is about, I'm going to look at the bigger page controls, the kind of page controls and page transition animations. So in this one, we're going to just look at the basic templates and then a little bit about how you can control that, setting page orientation. Bit of a look at what the pivot control and hub control give you in terms of the kind of user experience. And then how you can add a little bit of nice quality gloss onto your way your apps behave. As you've already seen, we've got a lot of great animations out of the box. The controls come out of the box and they look great straight as you go. But you can do a little bit more about manipulating the way they behave and some of the stuff they look like. So we'll look at that. So first of all, page controls. Summary first. You know, we've been creating that Contoso cookbook. We use the blank page. That is simply a blank page. It has no real data. No. It has no UI on it, and there's no logic behind it. The basic page I showed you, which is that one that is wired into the navigation helper and also the suspension helper, which we will look at some more session after next when we get into the app lifecycle. So we saw about how you add that, and it brings in all those other classes, which helps you with navigation support and some state management stuff. Page orientation. So Windows Phone apps, Windows Phone devices, people can use them in portrait and landscape. And of course, that's true for tablet apps as well, portrait or landscape. If your app wants to only be available to the user, it only makes sense to show it in one orientation. You can do that in two ways. You can set it for the whole app by going into the app manifest, and you can see the app manifest graphic there, and just check underneath if you only support a specific orientation, and then that's the only one it will show in. So the user launches the app and it will come up in that orientation. So that's app-wide. If you've got a specific page that only wants to be displayed in a specific orientation, then you can use this displayInformation.AutoRotationPreferences property. And you can set that to displayOrientations.Portrait or to .LandscapeLeft or .LandscapeRight. And that will set it for the page. And if you look at this code here, you would set that on the onNavigated2 coming into the page. And then don't forget to unset it again when you leave the page in onNavigated from, because if you don't unset it, that's set for the app thereafter. It will stick in whatever orientation you set. So that's just a little information about orientation. Right, now I'm going to dig into the bigger page controls. And these are ones that sit in that right-hand category for when we are looking at the whole broad collection of controls. These are the kind of trademark controls that you use for creating great user experiences. So this is the pivot, only on the phone. We don't have this on big Windows. And for Windows Phone 8 Silverlight developers who will be used to this, it actually looks the same and you've got the same guidelines. So what are the usage guidance? So a pivot is used where you've got discrete pages of information that are all related. So the user will swipe from left to right across the screen and we will reveal the next page worth of information. It's often used for where you've got some data which can be viewed in different sortings. The classical example of that is if you think about in the music hub, when you look at an artist, you can look at their albums or you can look at their tracks and, you know, you can swipe from one to the left and you can see different sortings. Or in the mail app, for example, if you look at all mail or you can swipe across and just see unread mail, swipe across again, you see high priority mail. So that's the kind of usage scenario. That's different filtered views of the same data set. In the way that you use it is you have your page object, the class object, and the pivot page, and inside that you have a grid, the container control. So you must always have a single control inside the page, which is the container for everything else. And then inside that, you just stick a pivot. And the pivot actually fills the whole of that page control. And that pivot consists of, you give a title, which just ends up as the same as the application title on the top. And then you have one or more pivot items. And a pivot item is the content area for each pivot pane, if you like. So you then just design your UI in that, just the same as if you were designing the content area on a regular page, as grids or stack panels or however you want to build that, design out that that control. So I've got a new iteration of our old friend, the Contoso cookbook. And this one has been rewritten to use the pivot, and it uses some of Matthias's lists as well. So we're really starting to build together all the content for this control. It's starting to look pretty good. So let's just run it first. And we'll show this on the emulator. And it's coming up now. There we go. And now we've got regions, and you tap on a region and it'll take you to the region page, and then you can swipe across from left to right, and we go to, from, you know, you, there's the landing page for a particular group and there's the recipes, and you can go and tap on a particular item and we're into our, you know, this is the same recipe detail page that we created before, with one big difference, and that is that the ingredients is no longer a horrible flyout from the app bar, which was convenient for keeping it a single page example. But this pivot now, you scroll across and you get the ingredients. And notice how the headers here, you see the header for the next section is kind of bleeding into the display. So you can see that there's something to the right. It's grayed out, something that begins with recipe. And so it's a hint to the user that if they swipe across, they're going to see more. So it's a really nice user experience. And then we can go back. And back again, and there's our main list of regions. How is that built out? So let's have a look at that recipe detail page. Let's stop that, and then we can have a good look at this. So here's the XAML for the recipe detail page, and you can see, okay, we've got our app bar at the top there, and then here's our outer grid, which contains everything on the page, and inside it all we've got is this pivot. We've got the title, which is the Contoso cookbook title, and then underneath it we've got a number of pivot items. In fact, we've got two pivot items. First of all, got the recipe pivot item, which is the recipe details, and inside that we've just defined all the content as a grid with text blocks, images, the same stuff actually we had on that single page display when we defined the simple example a couple of modules back. So the same content, but then underneath that we've got a separate pivot item 2, and this is the ingredients one, which just has a list view in it, and inside we've got a data template, so we're binding to the ingredients list. And this is what we're looking at. Where's it gone? Contoso cookbook. And here we go. Oh gosh, which one is it? Still have been practicing this. That's not quite what I had in mind. Yeah, okay. So, so here we go. And these are the two. That's the first pivot item, and that's the second pivot item. So it's a real nice way of, and all of these controls, they make really good use of the limited physical size of the screen. You know, you've got this physical screen, which is a phone screen, but by clever use of controls like this, what you're giving the impression to the user is they've got a window onto, so a wider canvas of interesting information behind. Okay. So that's the pivot. The hub is, it's kind of related. It's a, the big brother, if you like. This is really, really rich content, and you can see how graphically rich this is with lovely background images and some menus of items over it. This has a, some similarity to the panorama control that Windows Phone 8 Silverlight developers will be used to using. And it fills the same kind of usage scenario. So the different islands of information on this don't have to be page sized, they can be variably sized, and there's no conformity kind of expected from this. It's, think of this like a magazine cover with lots of great color content on it and little boxes of information that you can use to navigate to different interesting places. So and this is the landing, you know, it's a real landing page of your app, and the idea is you make the landing page visually stunning and it draws users into using it. Again, like the pivot, you, in the pivot that has pivot items, this one has sections within it that you design up individually. But the control and layout and all the nice usage, the nice touch and feel, the nice swipey navigation and animations, all built into it. The this is the designer view. So on the top left, obviously, you can see what it looks like for big windows, and then on the lower side, you've got what it looks like for the phone. But it's the same control, and this is a great example of one that you know, allows you, this one allows you as a designer to easily adapt to an appropriate layout for the particular device where the app is running. This is an example of the XAML. Again, we've got our page, and inside we've got our single grid. But in there, like the pivot, you've just got a single hub control, and inside the hub, well, first of all, we've got hub background. So hub background and an image brush. So that's where you want to put your image. Don't put it on the background of the page, because if you put it on the hub background, you get the nice parallax effect. I'll show you an example in a minute, which is this kind of 3D depth to it. And the background image also scrolls across the screen as the user is using it. And then you have one or more hub sections in the same similar way to pivot items. But like I said, each hub section can be variable, doesn't have to be a page width. It could be wider, for example. And that's something that people do use to make it visually very interesting. Each hub section, the content in it, the one thing about the hub control is you have to use a data template to define the content, so it can't be in line. So yeah, like I was saying, just stress that, the background image, make sure you put that into the hub and background property so that you get all the full benefit of that, and it's all part of the user experience of this control. So don't put it on the page. So we got yet another version of this over on my machine. So we'll stop that one, and then just because I'm confused, I'm just going to go and delete all the old ones on here. See, normally I reboot the emulator a few times, but let's get rid of all these Contosa cookbooks. It gets very, very confusing knowing which one actually is the right one. Okay, that's a bit of housework. It's gone. Let's go and open the next one. So this is hub control, and we'll look at the hub page, which is the landing point, if you like, of this. We've got a number of data templates. These are the layouts for each of the sections in the hub. So here's the first one, which is just a tiled template. We've got another one a bit further down, which is something called a standard triple line item. So this one is a grid with a border and a stack panel and an image in the border. So that's an imagey one. And then this one is another data template, which has got another border and image, but it obviously is going to be some variation between them. And then carry on down, and finally we get to, this is actually the page layout. So the data templates are plugged into this. So we've got our hub. Here's our hub background. We've got an image. There's the first hub section, section one header. And there's the section two header. Oh, I said a minute ago you can't have them in line. Well, there's a lie, because there's an inline data template. You have to define it as data templates. That's what I meant to say. And there we got another hub section, the third hub section. And so it goes on. And actually, the easiest thing now is to run it, and you can see what it looks like.
So those data templates, those have to be inline, you said?
No, they don't have to be inline, okay. But it just means each hub section has to be a data template.
Okay.
So same as if you had a list item. So.
But we could save it, we could have it be a resource.
Yes.
And point the hub to the resource.
Yes, okay. That's right, yeah. So here's my, this is the landing page. Now we've got a large, what is that? Tiramisu or something in the background, the background image. But if you look, the background image moves across, but at a different speed to the foreground. So you go, ooh, that's lovely. And then we've got different groups here. The first one is an example of a group that's wider than the page, which is in a six by two grid. And then we've got another one, which is a long list. So it's all visually very rich and interesting. Slightly boring one for the Germans. Sorry, I haven't got anything against Germans or food. I mean, love it, but it's just an example, you know. And then we've got Indian as well. So you can see how lovely it is. And then finally, it wraps around, you get back to these. And all these are links as well. So now we're into familiar territory. This is kind of the same as this is now we're back into pivot land. So so you can see how nice that is. Very, very rich. What's happened? Come back. Very rich control. Looks beautiful. That's a quick look at the hub. Right. Now, just switching context a little bit, but it is related. So I want to look at a bit about page transitions and theme animation. So some of the animation support, as you've seen, loads of stuff is built in. I mean, that hub control, you don't have to code any of that stuff. This is how it works. So you get all that lovely acceleration and slowing down as you animate across, and the parallax effect for the image. You know, it all comes for free. You might want to influence exactly how pages do animate. So, and again, this is really for you, for all you Silverlight developers out of this. Watch this and weep. So the signature phone animations are all built in. So Windows Phone 8 Silverlight, you could do all this stuff, but you used to have to download an additional package from NuGet, which was the phone toolkit, and that would add in support for page transition animations, and you had to change a few things. On the previous jumpstarts, it used to take up a good 10 minutes talking about all this sort of stuff, but now it's all built in. The page navigation, when you go from one page to another, the default is turnstile, and that is built into page navigations. And the other ones are all built in as well, like what's the true name for it is pointer down up. But actually what we know that as better is tilt effect, which means when you tap on a button, it kind of dips into the screen a little bit. You get this kind of weird 3D effect. So as you press on a button, you actually get a visual feedback that it actually is tilting into the screen. So that's all built into all the touchable controls as well. Page rotation, that's built in. So as you rotate the... If your page supports portrait and landscape, and we're going to look at that in the next session, you get the page rotation all built in, and escalator. And then we've got this other thing called theme animations and theme transitions. Actually, what these are it is a library of effects that you can use for advanced situations. Most of you, as app devs, will never need to program these directly. And these are actually what the built-in controls all use to give them all this lovely, rich animations. All this stuff is built in using these things. So we'll look at them in a little more detail in a moment. So the page transition animations, they're all built in. The default animation is this thing called turnstile. But you may want to override that sometimes because we've got these other ones, continuum navigation transition info, well, lovely name, and stagger and slide in as well. So there's loads of stuff. Now, I'm actually not going to spend an awful lot of time trying to teach you this because there's a fantastic resource built into the SDK that helps you to get the most of this, which is actually all you need to do is create a new hub app and a pivot app. They have all of this built in. So you can study them, and I'll show you this in a moment, and see how it's used, and then apply them to your own apps. So first one is this continuum navigation. So the idea is that you're in a list or something, you tap on an item, and actually if you see in the list now, Dinera Reed in the list has got this nice tilt effect. But then as you get to the next page, the name flies in from the top and the rest of the content flies in from the bottom. So this is an idea of continuum, which is a navigation that gives you the idea of continuous movement from the list where you selected an item onto the target page where you're navigating to. And part of you have to put some XAML into the leaving page, but part of that is on the landing page. You put this highlighted XAML on the right there, which you say continuum navigation transition info dot is entrance element equals true. So that in with that you're identifying the element that's going to fire, that's going to come in from the top, Dinero read text in this case. And then, like I said, there's some other animation. There's some other XAML you put on the exit page as well. Look at the pivot template. Create a new up to find out how to do it. And this one, again, with the pivot, actually, if you look carefully at this animation, you'll see that as you animate across, the content actually doesn't all come across together. You get the header bit, and then the smaller text kind of follows in just behind it. So this is an idea of stagger. So where you get things in when you're animating across, they stagger in at different speeds. So again, it's a subtle effect, but it just adds to the richness of the animations you can use. I mentioned these theme transitions. So there are loads of them. They're documented in the MSDN documentation. There's a link at the bottom there. And these are all the themes that, you know, if you remove an item from a list view, actually it doesn't just disappear. There's some nice animation, and the list view has this built in. So there's a nice animation as the original item kind of fades away, and then the rest of the list it closes up the gap in a nice animated way. This is all the, which one is this? This is a add delete theme transition. So all the built-in controls use these. So you probably won't have to, but you can, you know, just making you aware of them. So if you've got a fancy effect you want to apply, go and look at this library and see if you can make use of them. The one you will make use of, though, is this entrance theme transition. And you just slap that onto the outer grid on your page. If you've got a grid with a number of items on it, just simply put the grid.children transitions and the transition collection entrance theme transition, that block of XAML in, underneath as a child of your out of the grid, and you get a nice the effect is subtle, but the page doesn't just go bang and it shows itself. Actually, it sort of folds in from the top a little bit, so you get a nice animated animation, which I will show you. First of all, I'm just going to go file new project. Windows Phone apps. Let's create, like I said, what do I want? A pivot app. Create that. This, like I said, it's all built into this. So this is our app.xaml. I'm not interested in that. That's just nothing. What we need is the pivot page. So here we've got our... first of all, you'll notice that we've got this page transitions, a navigation theme transition, and this is for specifically for pivots. You want to put all of this onto the top of your page if you're using a pivot page. And you've got this is staggering enabled equals true. So we've enabled staggering for the page. That's not all you have to do, because then what you need to do is on various elements. So the pivot item, you say, well, this is a stagger element. So that's a stagger element. And then you'll say that actually this is a stagger element as well, and this is a stagger element. And if you run it, this is what gives it, as you swipe across, depends how fast your network is, Link's watching this, of course, but you'll see that actually this is that effect I was talking about, where the items come in, the content in the smaller text comes in slightly after the other one. You can swap the other way, of course, as well. The other thing is, if I hit on item title 2, we go to another page. Now, did you notice how the item title 2, there's a site, we tap on that, we go to the other page, and the header comes in from the top. It kind of swirls in from the top, which is an interesting effect. That's this is the continuum thing. So this is the continuum navigation transition info exit element containers. This is on the pivot where you're going out from. You set exit element container on the list view that contains the items that you're likely to, that the user is going to select from. And then the actual element that is going to be that you're going to link, which is kind of the name or the header, item title or whatever, you put that. Oh no, not that one. Find it. Oh, it's on the other one. That's right. Sorry, the other. here we go. It's the other list view. This is the list view, and then it's we've got. I will find it in a minute. I can't see it at this font size. Somewhere there's an exit element container. I think it's in the data template. Yes, it will be in the data template. Here we go.
Exit, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Exit element container is, yeah. Yeah, so study that. Study that. And we've built all this into the latest and greatest version of the Contosa cookbook, which is now looking truly beautiful. So I've worked all that in, and coming up on the screen now, and there's an, oh yes, we've got a nice stagger. Oh no, this is just a list, a boring list. So that one had the main page has the this on it, the entrance theme transition, so that when it comes in, you get, I'll just show you launching again, you get a slight delay coming in. And then we can select an item, and that had the continuum thing. We're going to German and recipes, and oh yeah, there we've got the nice sliding effect. And we can go over to a particular recipe, and again, we've got the sliding effect there. The content is coming back into the page at a different speed. So that's nice. And we go back and go back again to there. And we've also got animation on the, oh, that wasn't what I, no, go away, Cortana. What I meant to do is that, which is the about page. And again, we've got a nice animation on that. So it's just a little bit of quality you can do with relatively little XAML and make your app look really cool. All right. I think that is that. So that was a short one on the main hub controls, the main page controls, and a little bit of nice gloss about animations. We're just going to take a break for a few minutes, and then we're going to come back, and Matthias is going to talk a bit about, okay, what about all these different size screens? How do we do the layout and handle all that? We'll see you in a few moments.